When you began as a church 10 years ago, albeit just getting together, we just wanted to get together. We talked as a leadership team lots about the history. And you just wanted to be together, get together, encourage each other, and simply just do church. What were you hoping for? Don't answer, just think about it. What were you hoping for? What were you expecting as your church to become? Kind of form would it be? What would our church be? To those of us who came later, and tomorrow will be 3 years that I've been your pastor. Tomorrow will be my anniversary, our anniversary. So, for those of us who have come later, maybe been here 3 years, maybe been here a year, maybe a month or two or whatever it is, what are we expecting? What are we looking for? What are we hoping would happen here in our church? What are you hoping? Well, actually, or what were you hoping 10 years ago was what happened right in here? What were you hoping would happen in your relationship with Jesus? As you formed this new church, which I believe is by God's design that this church would be formed, what are you hoping for? And most importantly, what is God hoping for in this church? And what is God hoping to happen in your life, in my life? What's His plan for us? Remember, and I've said this a number of times, Rosenort Community Church is not our church. It's not our church. Oh, I know we say it, and that's all good. But in principle, in truth, it's not our church. Whose church is it? He's the one that owns this church. He's the one that died for this church. He's the one that gave His life for this church. He is the one that birthed this church. He's the one that has dreams and visions and expectations and desires and hopes for this church and for you. You and me. He bought this church with His own blood, His own death, the resurrection, and ascension. And we are invited to be His church. We are invited to be His body on earth. Isn't that incredible? Think about it. Jesus is inviting us to be His body in this world. The traditional Advent season invites us into 4 weeks of deep reflection on the Advent, and it's Latin for arrival or coming of God in Jesus of Nazareth, as well as this promised return. He's going to come back. We're thinking about when He came, and we're thinking about when He's going to come. And each week we'll focus on a particular biblical theme, although the selection and arrangement and themes around the world can change. Commonly they are hope, peace, joy, and love. From focused prayer and scripture reading to candle wreaths to embellish calendars. Anyone have an Advent calendar at home? Just a handful of you. A few. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. We have the Lent chocolate Advent calendar. Each our own, because we've been fighting for years. We had to share the spice. We bought our home, so we got our first Advent chocolate tomorrow. Advent celebrations vary widely, but all Advent practices share a heightened anticipation, more than a countdown to Christmas. Advent embraces the way of Jesus and encourages hopeful waiting, courageous peacemaking, resilient joy, and self-giving love in our still suffering world. Advent season leads towards the celebration of Jesus' birth and also emphasizes the spiritual arrival. Think first arrival and second arrival. It reminds us that we're living in between the time of Jesus' first and the second Advent, leading us to lament the hardships we experience in a still broken world. And he's also forming us into people who wait. Who wait. And we're not a society that loves to wait. To wait with longing for the renewed world to come. Hopeful waiting. Sometimes hope feels wishful, like crossing our fingers or dreaming of a better outcome. We might hope for better income or healed relationships or a brighter future, whatever that would be. But that kind of hope is based on things that may or may not happen. When things don't go as we hoped, it can be crushing. And our hope disappears like a vapor. It's gone. What we're hoping for, it's gone. And we're discouraged, we're depressed, we're upset. As a season of reflection and contemplation, Advent invites us to imagine a different kind of hope. Rooted in the unchanging nature of God and his promise to restore every part of creation, Advent hope does not minimize pain and difficulty, nor does it assume that things will get better. It doesn't assume that. Instead, it faces the darkness with courage. It faces the darkness with courage and chooses to trust that God's promises will come to pass, guaranteed in his long-proven faithful character. However, it is true that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Listen, personally and quietly reflect for a moment. What have you, or what are you hoping that has not yet come in your life? What are you hoping for? What are you waiting for? I wrote in my notes here, let's just sit here for a little bit. Yesterday I was working at the arena and for public skate, and there's a mom, and I coached her daughter in soccer, my mother, from years ago, and she fell on the ice and hit her head. And she just laid there. So I ran out there to see how she was doing. And her friend says, well, let's get up. No, I said, no, you just stay here for a bit. Her eyes were closed, tears started to come to her eyes, and she just sat there, or laid there. Well, get up. No, you just need to lay here for a little bit. I know the ice will get cold. When it gets too cold, we can get up, but just sit here. Figure out what you're feeling, figure out what's going on, and just relax. See, often in life, when we're going through a tough time, everybody says, like, let's move on. Let's get over it. I bumped into a father and daughter at Lillistone the other day, and I said, oh, your wife passed away a number of years ago. I think it's 3 years, they said. And your mom, how are you doing? That's 3 years. Most of us say, get over it. And I said to them, I'm sure a lot of people have said for you to get over it, but it still hurts, doesn't it? We can sit in that pain and that hurt. What are you hoping for? What is it that you don't have yet, that you're longing for? You know what it is. Maybe you've never told anyone. Maybe it's a secret only you hold. I wish for this. I want this. I hope for this. Is your heart sick with hopelessness? And the scripture talks about the definition of sometimes our heart feels ill, or weak, or faint, or sometimes there's it feels like a disease or a wound in there. One person I knew a number of years ago always talked about the dark night of the soul. The dark night of the soul. In the Old Testament, the words often used for hope was translated as wait. Wait. To hope in God means to wait with patient expectation, trusting that he will fulfill his promises. Now, let me stop here. When I say that statement, let me say it again. Trusting that he will fulfill his promises. We right away talk about my promises, my things that I want. God's promises are so much bigger. We can have what we think are promises, but God's promises are so much bigger. His plans are bigger for you and me, are bigger, grander than sometimes ours. I can look at different points in my life and go, I thought this was my dream. I thought this was my thing to do. I thought this is what I was supposed to do or accomplish or have. But as I look back, and some of you can testify to this, you look back and go, I wish for this, but what happened here was so much grander, was so much bigger, because I waited. This kind of waiting leans forward, anticipating the day when Jesus will return to make all things new. Such hope empowers people to persevere, to keep going. What keeps you going when there seems hopelessness and when your heart is hurting? We are in the in-between of the first arrival and second arrival. So what? Let me ask this question. Why do we as humans need hope? Without it, we die, or at very least, we just exist. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream. Next slide. Yep. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream, or the actual words mean a longing, a desire, a craving. Fulfilled is a tree of life. What's that longing? What's that desire? What's that craving? In his book, The Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl observed a direct and often fatal link between deferred hope and survival in a concentration camp. Viktor Frankl, if you know who he is, endured concentration camps in Germany. And he learned some things as he observed the other prisoners with him. He noticed a significant increase in the death rate. Now, he came up with three things. Put that next slide up there. There's three key observations. One is the loss of hope that led to death. There's the power of a why and the tragic optimism. Why do we need hope? Why do we need hope to actually go through the difficulties of our life? And we all have them, or will have them. And it's not an airy-fairy kind of hope that keeps us going. It's a deep hope of moving through with God. And he talks about it from a humanist side, but very fascinating. Frankl noticed that a significant increase in the death rate during the specific periods, such as Christmas and New Year's during the week of 1944, he attributed this spike to the prisoners who held on to the naive, false hope of being liberated by Christmas. They were hoping by Christmas they would be free. And when the date passed and no change in their situation, they lost courage, hope, and subsequently their will to live, which lowered their physical resistance to disease and death. The power of why. Nietzsche's words, he says, he who has a why to live, he can bear almost any how or what. Let me say that again. He who has a why to live, or a why to live for, can bear almost any how or what. Frankl stressed the importance of having a future goal and a purpose. For some, it was the hope of being reunited with a loved one. For others, it was an unfinished task. Something those prisoners had to look something beyond. What's their purpose? Why am I alive? Why am I here? What am I looking for? Not just, I want to get out in a few months. I want to get past this problem. I want to see the other side of this issue. I want this to be solved or this to happen. What are you living? What are we? What am I living for beyond? That's what he's saying. You have to have a why. Tragic optimism. Those two words, put that together. Tragic optimism. Frankl did not advocate for a naive or artificial optimism. Instead, he proposed an approach he called tragic optimism, which involves accepting the harsh reality of suffering. Accept the harsh reality of suffering, whatever it is that is our difficulty, while simultaneously, at the same time, clinging to life that has meaning and purpose. So you go through this difficulty and you hang on to that during this season, whatever that is, and you hang on to the reason and the meaning and the purpose of life. And you hang on to both of those together and you can make it through. Holding on, what's going on in your life? Whatever difficulty it is, whatever thing you're hoping for, I'm hoping for, and with the meaning and purpose of why. In essence, Frankl demonstrated that the act of sustaining hope rooted in a purpose or meaning was critical to life-saving psychological mechanism in the face of absolute despair. Now, he's talking psychologically. us here, spiritually, emotionally, with God. The hope that we have in God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and then I'm going to read a passage of Scripture that gives incredible hope. So come on up, and I'll do that partially because I don't want to disturb the sense of what we're going to do as I read and then as we worship together. This is a season of reflection and contemplation. Advent invites us to imagine a different and a stronger kind of hope, rooted in the unchanging nature of God and His promise to restore every part of creation and to restore everything that's been going on in our lives. Advent hope does not minimize pain or difficulty, nor does it assume that things will get better. Instead, it faces the darkness with courage and chooses to trust that God's promises will come to pass. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Just listen. I'm not putting it up there. I want you to listen. Close your eyes if you need to. Just listen to these incredible words from Peter writing to a group of churches that were going through incredible difficulties as a church and personally. Listen. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is His great mercy that we've been born again because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you. Pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay and rust. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive His salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad, church. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you endure many trials for a while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It will prove your faith. It will be tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love Him, Jesus. You love Jesus, even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him. And you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. And the reward for trusting Him with the salvation of your souls. Where have you given up hope? What is that that brings sadness, that makes you a little bit heartsick? We are invited to hope in God, in who He is, not just what He can do, but who He is. To trust Him, not just get an answer, but to hope. Let's stand.